Just before she died, following Peter the Great's rule that you can appoint your own successor, she named a two-month-old baby, her great-nephew, Ivan, who became known as Ivan VI, who ruled in 1740 rather briefly. She also chose as regent her lover, a German man named Ernst Johann Biron, to serve as regent with a two-month-old baby. Obviously, he had full power. But within just a few months, little Ivan VI, along with Biron and what was called the German Party, were overthrown with the Guards troops, who often played this role of the nobility interfering in who should reign. Ivan VI was replaced on the throne, really Biron was replaced on the throne, by Elizabeth, the daughter of Peter the Great and Catherine I. And she ruled Russia for a full 20 years, from 1741 to 1761. Hers is a very important reign in some respects, and I'll say more about it in a moment. When Elizabeth died, she was replaced by her nephew, Peter, who became known as Peter III, who ruled for only about six months. He made many, many enemies and was overthrown by Guards troops and replaced by his wife, a German woman, who became known as Catherine II, or Catherine the Great. She ruled for 34 years, from 1762 to 1796. Now, women ruled Russia in the 18th century for a number of reasons, partly because, as I've already noted, Peter made this possible. In 1722, faced with a son who was clearly disloyal, he decreed a monarch could designate anybody he wanted as successor, male, female, relative, not a relative, noble, a common person, whoever he wanted. Partly the design here was to strengthen the power of the autocrat. There should be no limit on the will of the ruler. But also, this was a reflection of his rationalist or utilitarian ideals. Why should the accidents of biology, and as he well knew in the Romanov family, the accidents of biology did not always produce the greatest offsprings. Why should this determine who should have such an important matter as ruling Russia? Simply not rational. Another problem, of course, was that was a rather shortage of able males, adults. Many of them didn't live very long. Many were not quite healthy. Many of them were not quite sane, in fact. And therefore, because there was a choice, women were often chosen. No less important, though, had to do with the rising power of the noblemen, of the aristocracy, and particularly of the aristocratic guards regiments. They enjoyed their growing power. They continually tried to reassert it. And they thought, remember Anna, who they were wrong about, they thought women would simply be more pliable, more agreeable. They were women, after all. They'd listen to them. They'd give them a greater voice at court. Whatever the intentions, one thing is clear. These women, at least certain of them, were not passive rulers. They did much to bring their own vision to the throne, and in many ways to shape the Petrine legacy in new ways. And this is most visible in the two most substantial reigns of women in the 18th century, Elizabeth and Catherine II. But concerning Elizabeth, who again ruled from 1741 to 1761, it has to be said first that there was an interesting difference in personality between Elizabeth and her father, Peter the Great. On the one hand, she was greatly admired, like Peter, but for very different reasons. She was beautiful. She was charming. She was friendly to everyone. And of course, after the rule of Anna and the domination of Biron and the so-called German party, she seemed to promise more respect for Russians, more respect for nobles especially, and to convey a more gentle spirit. In a way, one might say, Elizabeth was simply too charming. Unlike her energetic and forceful father, determined to transform Russia, to build things, Elizabeth was notoriously indolent and pleasure-loving. If Peter really loved Western goods, Western machinery, Western technique, for Elizabeth, what she really loved were French clothes. Still, she did a lot to continue Peter's legacy. She led further efforts to routinize and rationalize government institutions, something that was always going on among these westernizing elites. She also, more characteristic of her and her tastes, did a lot more to encourage cultural development, in particular founding a number of important institutions of higher education, especially Moscow University. Petersburg University already existed, founded by Peter.